I appreciate that, Ed, and you keep coming back. That's where all the very good people are. Amen. So we taught on Sunday, are you on the right path? And we shared from Proverbs 4:18. We said the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more into a perfect day. It's Proverbs 4:18. And we thank God that there talks about in that scripture verse, there's a path of the just and a path of the unjust. Okay? And hope you don't fall down like that, so you don't fall asleep. So the path of the just. So in other words, there's a path for us to follow. God has ordained that there's a way that God wants us to do the right thing, the right path, amen? And he wants us to have the plan. He wants us to know the plan. And so every now and then I said that we need to examine our walk. How's your walk with God? You have to ask yourself, how's my walk with God? You have to examine your walk with God. Evaluate whether or not you're on the right path. You know, sometimes that path means, you know, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you being with the right people? Are you going to the right places? Are you doing the right things? And sometimes, you know, something can get off in your life. You know, you got to get a balance. You're a spiritual being. You're a mental being, or you have a soul, and you live in a physical body. And your body can take you places. Your physical body has appetites, and it wants to do certain things, and it can take you right off course. And we need to be able to find what God wants us to do. So we talked about that. We said once in a while we have to figure this out. And the path, we said there's a quotation we use from someone. The right path might not always seem like it's the right path. Because sometimes you're walking down the road, you're doing everything you're supposed to do, you're being with the right people, you're reading your Bible, going to church, singing songs, and doing all that stuff, and all of a sudden you seem like there's nothing going on in your life. I mean, am I on the right path? How many of you ever questioned that? I mean, we've all done it. We've all said, you know, hey, you know, am I in the right path? It doesn't seem like there's nothing going on, nothing exciting going on. But, you know, so the right path might always not seem like it's the right path. We also said, on the other hand, that the wrong path might not look like the wrong path. You're doing it on the road, make a wrong decision. You see, one wrong decision follows another wrong decision, until you've gone so deep in something that you lost your way around. Sooner or later, you get a little bit hard. Your conscience starts to get more hardened to the sensitivity of the Spirit of God. And you begin to do things that you're not supposed to be doing. I'm not going to ask for any amens on that or if you've ever been there right now. But we've all done it. We've all been there at some point, and we don't hear God sometimes like we should. So, and I gave you a scripture from Proverbs 16:25. Proverbs 16:25 says, there seems a way that seems right. There's a way that seems right to a man. So, you know, there's a saying that I can't remember what source of information I got this from, but I remember that man is not the measure of himself. I think I got that from university somewhere, where philosophy or something, you know. We're not to measure what we do, you know, because, you know, like everything that we think is right might not be right. You know, we have to understand that there's things sometimes that seem like you're on the right path, seem right to you, but you need to check it out. So in these times where you need to check it out, you need to find somebody more spiritual than you, not somebody less spiritual than you, somebody you can trust that will tell you the right thing.
Amen.
That's not going to come in favor with you because they like you or they don't want to lose friendship with you. You have to have a friend. A friend will tell you what you need to be told.
Amen.
Right? So sometimes we don't always like that. You know, Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12, there's somewhere on there, tells us that, you know, sometimes when people tell you stuff and they discipline you or somebody disciplines you, your dad or spiritual father, somebody tells you something, it doesn't always feel right, but in the end, it's going to produce life in you. That's good, eh? So I want to talk about something here, and we talked about, you know, God makes a distinction between the right decision, right road, wrong road, and we talked about how do you find out whether or not you're going the right direction. So we talked about that Sunday. I'm not going to go elaborate into it, but I think if you missed that session, you can go online and listen to it, or listen to the audio, or listen to the video. You can tell if you're on the right road. You know, there's people that all their lives as a Christian never was in the will of God. And one day when they get to heaven, they're going to kneel before Jesus, and Jesus is going to ask them, what did you do with your life? You know, you could spend all your life doing your own thing and not really, you never really got in too much trouble, but you didn't do exactly what God told you to do. I heard lots of stories of people who were afraid that to give God, you know, to come to God and to give God 100%, they feared that, you know, hey, God might send me to Africa. I don't want to be a missionary. I remember one person saying that, and, you know, at the end of their lives, God said, I didn't want you to go to missionary. I just wanted to know if you'd do anything for me. So you have to face that fear and answer the question, you know, am I willing to do what God told me to do? You know, I've come to that crossroads many, many times. I remember the time that sometimes you have to step off into faith, and you're standing nothing on but the Word of God. When I left Alcoholics Anonymous, I was 5 years to sobriety, and I loved going to meetings. I loved AA, and I still love AA, but I tell you that when God spoke to me about leaving, it's been almost over 40 years ago now, and people are still waiting for me to drink, to go off. But I knew that I had the program in my heart, I knew that it was found in here. This is where the program in the first place came from. Okay, the spiritual principles are found in here. I know that faith without works is dead. And I love the people, I love the friends. I still hang around with some of them, and I have good friends there today. And I don't put it down. I thank God if you have to go to meetings, I'll take you there. I'll sit there with you. It's good. And so don't ever, put anybody down for what they're doing. You know, so, if I go there even today, I still find help. It straightened out my thinking. And I thank God for that. And so you need people to help you with your thinking. So, and that's what I used to do all the time. Go to those meetings and straighten out my thinking. I go to my sponsor. He tells me, you know, I'm scared or something. He says, you know, Roma, at that time, you could smoke in club rooms. So he says, Roma, go clean the ashtrays. Go pick up the butts there and make sure everything's clean. Straighten out the chairs, wash the dishes, and close, shut the light out, and take this money and put it in the bank. And I did that. I just was willing to do whatever they told me to do. Like, don't criticize me because I'm still sober. And I became a good person. And it wasn't Christians that told me about God. It was these people that told me I needed God, even though they didn't know God that much. You know, they might have known God too, as they understood it, as that step says. And so, thank God, I had a spiritual encounter, just like Bill Wilson had. I don't know if you're ever familiar with Bill Wilson. He had a spiritual encounter with God, and he changed his life. He went to actually a meeting where he preached Jesus. And he came to Jesus and gave his life, had an encounter. And I told God, I want that. And I got one, or two of them, three, four of them. And so thank God. I knew God's real. So every once in a while, we have to go to someone and ask him, talk to me. Give me some feedback. And it's not always good, or doesn't always feel good, doesn't always feel right when somebody corrects you. So I want to do a little correcting tonight. Individually, one by one. No, no, just kidding. No, no. God doesn't embarrass people. He don't pull somebody out. You know, now, what if you're at death's door and the decision you're going to make will kill you tomorrow and destroy a lot of people besides you? It's better if God called you out and told you. Amen? I'd rather if he told me something. So we talked about what it feels like if you're on the wrong course. We talked about that Sunday morning. You know, what happens when you're in the wrong decision? What kind of emotions, what kind of mentality do you go through? What kind of spiritual condition do you go through to figure out whether or not you're in the wrong place? So if you find that out, we gave some really practical things, and we talked about staying on course, and how can you tell, as I mentioned, if we're on. So we talked about all those sensations. So I want to mention a few things tonight about I believe that we need to talk about here today. And that is, like, sometimes in your life, when you lost your way, you have to ask yourself, what's the last thing that God told you to do that you remember that you have to do? Go back to the same practical thing that God said to do. If you lost your path, ask yourself, what do you remember last that is significant to you that God told you to do? And so you have to start there. We all need mentorship. We all need role models. We all need examples of faith. Amen? So what is an example of faith? We'll talk about that. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 71, verse 7, New Living Translation. Psalm 71, verse 7. 1 Timothy 4:12, 1 Timothy 4:12, Psalm 71, verse 7, 1 Timothy 4:12, Titus 2:7, 1 Thessalonians 1:7, 1 Timothy 1:2, Romans 1:8, Philippians 3:17, and 1 Corinthians 2:11. Now that you got that, let's go one at a time. How about we go to one verse? Psalm 71, verse 7. Here's what the psalmist said. My life is an example to many, because you have been my strength and my protection. My life is an example to many. And I want to tell you something about Roma Fisher. My life is an example to a lot of people. And for year after year, for about 30 years now, that if people go away for 5 years, they come back, they'll see me there again. You go away 6 months, and you'll see Roman Fisher standing there in church. Amen. That's a solid example of someone who follows Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I don't say that on my own, because Jesus Christ has been my strength, and he has been my protection. I could not do that without following somebody else who's done it. Amen. You know, every year I travel to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I travel there 2 to 3 times a year. I drive 17 hours there, and I drive 17 hours back. Someone said, what would you do that? I've done that since 1988. And that's consistency. I've done it because I've had to. There's some things I don't stop doing. There's other people who don't do it. I noticed that they didn't go very far as Rhema graduates. And so I had to be able to do the extreme to get what I wanted. You know, I don't look to anybody else, you know, if they're what they're preaching in churches. I follow what God told me to do. And I just say, you know, what's the fad right now? Let's follow what they're doing. Oh, they're doing, these kinds of meetings. Let's do what they're doing. Well, if you follow God, he'll tell you what to do. And it'll confirm with other people that you know. That, hey, man, I got the same thing. I'm following the same thing. And you know that the Spirit of God is moving in a certain direction in the church. You're not the only one. You know, two things to remember. Number one, people are following you. In other words, you're an example. And you're a role model. What kind are you? And then number two, you're following somebody. You're not an original. And you need somebody else to follow. You're not an island to yourself. So we thank God that we're either, you know, leaders or followers at the same time. So thank God that we can have that. And there's a plenty of scripture to show that leader-follower. I know God called me to lead. And sometimes, you know, we don't like it. We don't always like to be leading. We just want to sit back and let other people do it. And so we need to, let me just say, the title, if you want a title of this message, we've already gone, we've got only about 10 minutes left. We call it Reproducing Sons of Faith. You know, we're following people. Someone's following you every day. Someone's following you. And when you die, we do this sort of a morbid, kind of class that we have, but it's real. So we said to all our students, you know, I want you to write your obituary. Write it yourself. Just talk about, in that obituary, write what they will talk about, what they're going to say about. When you die, what are people going to say about you? He had nice teeth. Huh? But they weren't his own. Well, whatever it is, like, we need to say something. You know, you don't say anything bad. I mean, you have to say something about, you know, what are they going to say about you? What kind of legacy will you leave? What is your kids going to say? You know, Billy Graham died a couple weeks ago, and we saw all these things, you know, thousands of people would flock and hear, tell about Billy Graham and just, you know, all these accolades he's received. David wrote something in the scriptures, you know, Book of Chronicles, you know, he said something there. He said, you know, it said about the scriptures, and he says something, you know, in the Psalms, you know. It says in Second Chronicles that David, King David, it says, died in a good old age, full of riches and honor. That's a good thing to leave. He left that legacy. That this man died in a ripe old age. He didn't die before his time. Amen. I was reading, the book called, I believe, In Visions by Brother Hagin. He tells about, I think it was a sixth vision he had from Jesus. And he talked about a story that he was in church and he fell. And he hurt his elbow and he pulled his elbow out. He got out of line and he had to go to the hospital there. I mean, he's in church preaching. And the doctor says, they got good news, bad news. One, the bad good news is that you didn't break your arm. The bad news is it's worse than breaking your arm. This is going to take longer to heal than it would if you had a fractured arm. So he's in a hospital. Jesus appears to him, walks down the road like he heard some footsteps coming down the hall while he was in his hospital bed. And he said, I saw somebody with a robe, looked at his feet, had sandals on. It was Jesus. Jesus said, I want to teach you some things about how the devil affects people. And went on to explain some things to him. But one of the things interesting he said, a lot of my ministers, he said, the reason why you hurt your arm was because I permitted that to happen to you, because for 2 years, you're going down the wrong direction. And I allowed the enemy to afflict you that way. Otherwise, he said, you would have died had you continued on in that direction. Like, I want to tell you something. Some of you have gotten into trouble, and the enemy got in there. I want to let you know that it's all not that bad. And you know, you might have some affliction, and if you don't let me as your pastor or somebody else give you discipline, the devil is going to discipline you. He's going to show you something. He might even kill you in the process or hurt you to the point that you're not going to like being around here. I'm serious. I mean, you read the books. The Bible says, you know, there's one guy in the book of Corinthians. He was had a relationship with his ex, with his stepmom, having sexual relations with his stepmom. The Bible says that Paul said, you know, I'm gonna pray, that God would remove his hand. That he got afflicted, this fellow, to save him from dying. And so we need to ask ourselves if we're on the right path or not. You know, I like saying, you know, I'd rather be on that plane somewhere if I'm going to missions, knowing that God sent me there, not that I want to impress somebody about my ministry. Amen. And I'm not going to build things because I want to impress people how big I am. Amen. You know, when people do stuff, they become going to professions because, you know, maybe their parents want them to, or they felt their community said, you know, they need this, whatever, so they go a certain direction. And here's what Brother Higgins said, the Lord told him. He says, you know, a lot of my ministers die early because they got off course. And so we need to correct ourselves. So somebody's following you, and you're following somebody else. We're not an island to ourselves. So who we are, we reproduce around us who we are. Here's 1 Timothy 4:12 says, I said, here's Paul writing to a young man. The Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, he says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. You know, God can call anybody, whether you're young or old. You don't have to be old to be called. The very first day you're born again, you could know what God wants you to do. I did. I didn't always want to hear it. I wanted to do what I want to do. I want to be like everybody else. You know, the Bible says about Israel, they said, they told, their leader, he said, you know, we want to be like everybody else. Give us a king. And they prayed about it, They prayed about it. They want a king. God, I want this, I want it. And God says, okay, just give them a king. And so they got what they prayed for, what they wanted, but God said, that's not the right thing for you. You can have it. So the thing that you want so badly might not be what you want, what's good for you. And God will allow you to have it because you want it that way. So you can find that in the Bible. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. See, God wants examples. God wants us to live an example of those, you know. We can live in the way that God wants us to live. And you know, you see, there's a lot of, the devil lies to people that they can't stop sinning. You can't ever stop smoking. You can't stop doing drugs. That's all a lie. You can't stop messing around. You can do it. You can stop. If you want to. The devil had nothing to do with forcing you. You let it go on. If the Bible says resist the devil, then he says, then you can resist it. Amen. So there's things that we need to look at our lives. God wants us to live pure lives. He says, your life of purity. God wants us to live like, oh, we all need to get holy. So look at Titus 2:7. Titus 2:7. And you yourself must be an example. Now he's talking to another young man by the name of Titus. You yourself must be an example of them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do to reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. In other words, do what you walk the talk, or you know, if you say something, then you need to live like it. Right? Like, never mind us telling everybody what to do. Now, just be an example. Like, you know, if you live right, people's going to follow you. We don't have to try to do anything. Just live right. People are going to follow you. They say, hey, you know. Every time I go somewhere, like I said, people stop me, talk to me about Spirit Alive. Last night I went to the store again and somebody stopped me. Sometimes it's the same people. You don't see them again. I don't know them. I don't see them anywhere else except they tell me they see the program. What an impact it would be if this man went out and committed adultery. Went out and started, selling drugs. Huh? How many people would it hurt? Would it just be me and my wife? No, it would be so many people. It would be you. You'd be ashamed of ever coming here. Well, how do you think we feel when you do stuff? Exactly. Right? So we have to understand, so it works both ways. So, here's what he says to the church at Thessalonica, not just individuals, but a whole group of people. What are they saying about Faith City Church? He says here in 1 Thessalonians 1:7, as a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. He says there that these people in Thessalonica were great examples in their faith to a lot of people everywhere. Praise God. It's a serious matter tonight. Okay? I mean, the Lord gave me this example. You know, I said, Lord, I'm just struggling with this today. Lord, let's go ahead and dance tonight. Let's go ahead and lay hands on people and let them laugh for a while. Let's tell some jokes. Let Pastor be, light and easy. Amen? Yeah. You know, so, but sometimes you have to be disciplined. Sometimes you have to get a little salt in your wound. Heal you up a little bit. Here's 1 Timothy 1:2. Paul tells Timothy about him as a leader teaching other people. I'm writing to you, Timothy, my true son in the faith. Son in the faith. May God, the Father, the Lord Jesus our Lord, give you grace, mercy, and peace. Hey, we need that. We need lots of grace, mercy, and peace. Notice here, again, I want you to see something. Grace is something, you can do things. God will grace you to do whatever he's called you to do. That's empower you to do or to be somewhere when you don't want to be. Because a lot of people, they say, I don't want to, they come to church and say, well, I don't like it here because, you don't feed me that much anymore. You know? Well, it's not about you. Okay, so mercy. We need mercy. We trip up, mess up, make mistakes. How many of you have never made a mistake? We're going to pray for you right now. And peace. We do need a lot of peace. Now, look at this. Romans 1:8. Now he's writing to a whole group of other people of being examples, role models of faith. Let me say first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, or all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. Now, what are they talking about when they talk about you? What do they say about your spirituality? And so we have to see that this is all in the Bible. By the way, I'm going to be putting a book together. I've got about 5 or 6 books coming. But we got all these books to be published soon, so they'll be published. Some of them will be published, you know, the will of God and being a role model and those kind of things, those kind of books. Faith and how to have faith, how to, you know, we're going to produce these books. We need them. How to be born again. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Just sharing some scripture. Dear brothers and sisters, notice this, pattern your lives after mine. This is Paul talking to the Philippians. Pattern your life after mine and learn from those who follow our example. He's telling us that we have to pattern our life, you know, from the mentors that God has given us. And they were given those mentors. And also he says, follow those who you have for an example. You know, Hebrews, I believe it's 13:7-17. Go to Hebrews 13:7-17. Let's go look at 2 scriptures here. Paul tells the Philippians, follow those guys who have an example of those people. Now look at this. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your life after mine. Philippians there. Verse 7 says, Hebrews, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. That's a good scripture. It's a wonderful scripture. Who likes that scripture? Hallelujah. That's an awesome scripture. I like that scripture. One of the best scriptures you can find in terms of leaders or following. Hebrews chapter, did I say 13? Was it 13? 13:7, yeah. 13:7. Did you have it? All right. Let's go to verse 17. Is there a verse 17? Obey your spiritual leaders. Am I a spiritual leader? Yes. So do I give you the word of God? Yes. So you need to follow this. Obey this. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. They are accountable to God. Give them a reason to do this with joy, not with sorrow, that you would certainly not be for your benefit. Woohoo! Wonderful. Amen? That's wonderful. Now, if you turn in your Bibles to another scripture that I will give you, these are a lot of scriptures, right? You're going to read these again? You will see these again. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 11:2, I think we'll probably end right there. I'm so glad you're always keep me in your thoughts and that you're following the teachings I pass on to you. So we need to really think for a moment to follow individuals that God put in your life. Yeah. Follow their example and know the end of their life. You know, Billy Graham is a prime example of that. We can follow somebody like that. He didn't go crazy, you know, there was no scandal about his financial life. He lived, apparently, someone told me that he lived in the same house all his life. That's what I plan to do. I'd like to build a little bit extra in my house if somebody would help me. Put a couple of sticks together, tie up some rope, and not like my uncle, and he wants to build something, he put some. I told you about one of my uncles. You know, he was much of a carpenter, fixer in the house. If a doorknob broke, he just put a sock in there. Amen. Doorknob, it's just cover that up so that the coal wouldn't come in. But he'd have a string there so that you pull it open. You know. So you can see I didn't have a good example of building. Huh? But I knew how to build a canoe. And I build a fire in the wintertime. I cook a rabbit. But we don't need those skills right now. But maybe one day we'll need them. They say, where's that Roma Fisher? We need him right now. We don't have any lumber on here. So we need, we reproduce what we are. And who we are, people around us will be like us. And, you don't have to go far to study that. You can, social scientists tell us that you become like whoever you hang around with. I think about Billy Graham. I got born again under Billy Graham. I was born again watching Billy Graham. As a 24-year-old man, I saw Billy Graham come on television, and he invited us to receive Jesus Christ. For the first time in my entire life, I made a conscious decision to follow Jesus. I bowed my head, and I invited Jesus Christ in my life, and I began to cry so much. And if you had asked me why you're crying, I couldn't tell you why I was crying. It felt so wonderful. Then immediately the devil came to me and told me that I lost my mind, that I was having a nervous breakdown. And I said, man, this is a good one, man. I want to keep this one. This is a good one, man. I thank God for that, that I got saved, thoroughly born again. My life changed, and I went everywhere telling everybody about Jesus, whether or not they liked it or not. I was unashamedly telling people about Jesus. All my friends thought I was nuts. They said, man, this guy went to AA. That was crazy, but now he's got religious. He's really crazy now. And so came out of that, and I decided, I got to find somebody who can follow. For some reason, there's people here and all over the world crying for somebody to follow. You want an example. Billy Graham is a great example. All his life, you can't find anything wrong with this man. Brother Hagin died. He's a good man. He wouldn't find anything wrong with his life. Left a legacy. Left everything there. He died rich, but he was poor. He didn't live extravagant. Just put his money back in the ministry. Glory to God. Amen? Amen? And we need to find people today that we can follow after. Follow their example. What did they do? How did they pray? What did they read? What did they eat? Well, I ate chicken. you all know that well. Anyway, let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you this night that we have plenty of role models to look towards in this life. There's people around here in this church that they can find many, many people in their lives that you place in their lives. Many people find their mentorship through television, like Joyce Meyer. They read her books, see her who was sexually abused by her dad, tell she was old enough to get away from home and got born again. Now she says, I don't even look like I ever, I don't even sound or look like that I ever was abused. God totally changed, revolutionized my life. I don't use it as a crutch. I use it as an example that God, what God can do. So we shouldn't try to use our past as something, you know, look, poor me. No, we're going to use it as, hey, listen, you know, you can get out of this too. Look at me, what I did in Christ. Well, thank God for that. So thank God. Lord, we want to thank you that there's so much we can do. Learn from people how to pray, how to walk by faith, how to be a leader, how to be a daddy, how to be a mom, how to be a good person, just how to be a good student, how to live right. There's so many people that look, we just look around us right now, some people that are not even born again, and yet they're a good example of how to live right. Just because they put in motion principles that are pure and truthful, they become good people. So I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the power of example, the power to influence. So we thank you about those wonderful people that Paul followed and the other people who followed others in the scriptures, like Elijah and Elisha. They knew that something can be done. If they could do it, we can do it. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you. Ask yourself tonight, how am I doing? How's my life doing? How's my prayer life? How's my walk with God? How do I handle my finances? How's my relationship? Don't get mad at people who tell you stuff. They might not even correct you right, but there's something in what they said might be true. Maybe they didn't know how. Maybe they don't have the skill to tell you, but they needed to say something to you. Just begin to stop and say, you know what? You're right. I was talking to somebody yesterday at my home, and they went to someone's home, and they told me that they were drunk when they went to someone's home, but they got sober, and they went back to that person and told me, you know, I'm sorry about what I did back there. They had a chance to tell people that they were sorry. Please forgive me. I want to be a blessing to you. So maybe you might have to do that now. If there's somebody here, I want to encourage you, if you have to go and tell someone that you repent and that you've changed your life, go ahead and do that tonight. Maybe write a nice short mail. Just tell someone that you love them. Tell them you believe in them. Send them a nice message tonight. Tell them, you know what, I believe in you. I thank God. God placed you in my life. You're an example to me. I want to thank God for that. You do that tonight. Would someone do that tonight? Huh? Send a message to somebody. Or tell yourself. Put your picture and just say, man, I'm an example of Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ. How many will you do that tonight? Amen? Paul did it. He says, you know, hey, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. But if I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. That'd be a good status. Amen? Lord, I bless everyone here in the name of Jesus. Is there somebody here, first of all, that you need to repent and come to Jesus Christ? Is there somebody here to say, you know what, I want God in my life. I need Jesus Christ in my life. If that's you, anybody, they say, I want to come to Jesus tonight. Anybody here? Okay, I promise you this. Mark Davies coming. And if you're not at the altar now, I promise you, you'll be here when he comes. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless everyone. In the name of Jesus, I want to thank you that everyone's saved. If you're watching online, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, just say, you know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Real simple. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I want to be born again, and you're in. I'm going to follow you. Thank you, Lord. Well, God bless you. Have a good night. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Amen.